Matthew chapter 19. I think we're going to close out our series, at least for the time being. I might come back and visit. I've said that about the parables. I was going to go through them again sometime, and haven't done that yet. But anyway, I like character studies, and but for the time being, far as I can tell at this point, we will close our series on the famous, the infamous, and the anonymous with good examples of children. There in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 13. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 13. Then were there brought unto him, unto Jesus, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Let's pray. Father, there's so much a misunderstanding in regards to children in this world. The value and the way that we ought to be a blessing to them. We pray, Father, that you would, through your word, teach us, through the ministering of the Holy Spirit, show us how that we can minister and what we can learn from the example of children. And we know we've learned some as we dealt with this message on Hosanna children. But we pray, Father, that here again, as we look at another passage, it's similar, but has some different principles that we can draw from so that we may be the kind of people that are like the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would likewise be a blessing to the children. We ask, Lord, that you would hear us, Father. Forgive us, Lord, of where we have failed in this area and many other areas in our lives. We pray, God, that you would just cleanse us, and Lord, that we may be vessels that are fit to receive the pouring out of your blessing upon us, that our cup would even run over. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The children brought to Christ, these are special children, and in God's providence, were there at that time, and it's God's providence. It wasn't luck, it wasn't chance, it wasn't by chance, but they were there because God had predetermined they're going to be there. And that there was going to be this instruction for us to learn some things. Now, I want us to look at the other two accounts before we go further in this to gain a little bit more what this is about. That's why we have to study the scriptures, is because we don't always have it all right there in the same spot. And there's lessons to be learned both ways. But we find there in Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, we have another account of this. And it says, And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And then lastly, in Luke chapter 18, we have the other account. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So there we have the three accounts that we have. And we see that these were obviously very young children that are in mind here. And what I want to look at is four things in this text that we've chosen in Matthew 19. And that is, first, the parents of these children. And then number two, the needs of these children. The rebuke over these children. And then lastly, the blessing upon these children. So let's look at the parents of these children. And I'm really making an assumption here, their parents, seeing how that's probably who they were. More than likely, devout parents are the ones who are taking care of their children. They don't have somebody else do them, typically. You know, I know there's occasions where you have a babysitter and things of that nature, or a nurse or something like that, as they called them, the Hebrew children. Mothers were nursing some of the Hebrew children, like in the case of Moses. But we see how gentle and loving that the Lord Jesus Christ, even though He was the King of Kings, that He was toward these particular children. That He would put His hands upon them and bestow a blessing on them and pray for these children. It's natural for parents who are concerned about the things of Christ, it would be natural to want to bring their children to Jesus Christ. Would want Christ to bless their children. And we see that Christ shows His commendation of that by doing what they had desired. And we see that Christ's attitude towards children. You know, we need to think about this. When we have children come visit with us, and may not, some who regularly visit and some who come on occasion. We got some family, I think Alex, he comes sometimes, and others that may come. We need to think about, they're here in God's providence for a reason. It's not by accident. It's not a burden, but it's a great privilege for us to be like Jesus toward these children and the way that we conduct ourselves toward them. Something else to take in consideration, Jesus didn't just play silly games with them. Now, there's nothing wrong with silly games. I was guilty of that every once in a while. It seemed like every time right before bed, Carol would get kind of frustrated because I'd get the kids all riled up before bedtime because we just had to have a wrestling match before it's time to go to bed. But anyway, sometimes I would do that. But nothing wrong with that. But the thing is that though we may do those things, and it would be a good thing, we should never, ever neglect the more serious, the more helpful, the more eternal thing that can really, truly help the children. And that is bringing them to Jesus Christ. Bringing them to where Christ would bless them. And we see parents, not only back then, but today, they bring their children to the Lord Jesus. Now, I know we can't do it physically. I understand that. But in a spiritual sense. And, the disciples, they were jealous for the Lord's, He was busy, obviously. But sad to say that parents are almost like these disciples. They're too busy to bring their children to Christ. Or they can bring them to piano lessons and dancing lessons and to Pop Warner football practice and Little League and every other kind of thing. You know, used to, when I was going to, when I was involved with those kinds of things, they didn't have it on Sunday, and they didn't have it on Wednesday nights. It's so much different now. The soccer and everything. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday, Wednesday, it's all the same to them. Another thing about our culture, culture is the God consciousness is not there as it once was. But like, you know, I mean, there are times when our kids was involved in that. They had a soccer game or a little league and it was on Wednesday or Sunday. We ain't going. And what does that say to the children and to the others? There's something more important than that. And that is God and His Word. That is most important. So again, I'm not against all that stuff, but I am against neglecting what is more important and that which is eternal. And that's a wonderful opportunity for a testimony to the world. You don't say anything except we won't be there, we'll be in church, and that's it. But we understand that, you know, children out there, you are blessed. You got parents that bring you to church. I didn't get that a lot in my life. I didn't get a lot of going to church. There's a bunch of formalism. Wasn't really a true church. But you are blessed. You got parents who bring you to church. And when you come to church, it's not a bunch of formality like it was when I was growing up at an Episcopal so-called church. It's to hear about Jesus. Jesus walks in the midst of His churches, so when parents bring their children to church, they're bringing them to Jesus. You, Titus and Ashlyn and Olivia and Noah and Elliot, wherever he is, and there he is, and you know, Stephen and Hannah and Susanna, all these children, you are blessed so much more than other children, so many children in the world today, because you have parents that love you enough to bring you to Jesus, to bring you to church to hear about Jesus. You don't understand how great a blessing that is. And the love that your parents have toward you to bring you to church. I wish my parents had loved me that way. I mean, they love me. There's some things I just didn't know. But I would have loved to have that kind of love. Probably would have saved me a lot of grief and sad mistakes I made in my life early on. But you are blessed to have parents and grandparents who care about you. But what's really special, that by God's grace, you have heart-to-heart talks with your children. And it's only by God's sovereign grace. It only happened with one of our children. I mean, it happened in form with all of them. But it only stuck with Elizabeth. And we had the blessing of seeing her come to the Lord Jesus Christ and baptized when she was 16 years old. And there is nothing quite so blessed than to see your children come to Jesus. There's nothing quite so blessed. But now, secondly, the needs of these children. These children were dead sinners. And I like what we see typified here. Because they're dead sinners, they couldn't come. They had to be brought. We can't come of ourselves. You will not come to me that you might have life. Why? Because we're dead. Matter of fact, the scriptures even tell us there in Psalms 58:3 that they come from the womb speaking lies. That was the need. These parents here, apparently understood about total depravity. You know, there's a value to doctrine. It helps you to practice properly. And so this, they understood that these children had a particular need. So many people, sadly, and I understand there's a certain, and I use the term very, very loosely, innocency of childhood. Remember when I was talking about Hosanna children, I believe it was, or maybe the other children turned the parents in. That, you know, to be children in maliciousness, okay? So there is a sense in which the depravity is not worked out as much and expressed as fully in a child. But they knew about the depravity. They weren't like some people who think, oh, they're just the perfect angel. You know, they're cute, but they're still depraved. Right. And we should still love them,
amen.
But they're still depraved. And we need to understand that. Because if we're not careful, and sometimes this happens, I don't know why, I just thought about this curve, but sometimes we watch Beverly Hillbillies, and we watch Mrs. Drysdale, and her son, Sonny. And some of you might know, I mean, she just made over him and spoiled him totally rotten. Well, that's what happens when people don't believe in depravity. They think they're just the most wonderful thing. He went to college for 19 years and still, you know, still hadn't graduated, didn't have a job, you know. But that's that kind of attitude of, you know, they're just wonderful, they can't do any wrong. And that's going to the extreme. But there are people who do something like that with their children. Parents who love their children discipline their children. Amen. That shows love. So, and children understand that. When you get a spanking, then understand that probably you deserved it. Amen. I can tell you right now, I deserved a whole lot more spankings than I got. And it should have been a whole lot harder than the ones I got. Probably would have helped me later on down the line too. But those who bring others to Christ, bringing children to Christ, will not be satisfied with simply satisfying the wants and desires of children for entertainment, worldly activities, and even those worldly activities that are in religious garb. Right, sad to say, some of the family, in my family, they have children's, quote-unquote, church. And it's all about games, fun and games. It's no wonder that so many of the younger ones in this generation, they have no respect whatsoever. It's a bunch of fairy tales and it's a bunch of games, and then all of a sudden they're hit with reality. Well, this has nothing to do with church or God or anything, so I got to get into reality. And so that is a problem today, is that people are more interested. It's easy to start with. You know, they're laughing, they're having a good time, and it's much more enjoyable, maybe, from on the surface. But in the end, it makes them spoiled rotten. It makes them entertainment-oriented themselves. So, the needs of these children were not to be baptized, either. The needs of these children were not to be dedicated or confirmed. But these children represent those who are candidates to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're weak, and they recognize themselves as such. You know, our children are when they're young. They're looking up at the adults, these big old adults, and they recognize they're weak and they're small, and so on. That's the way we ought to respond to God, because we're weak and we're small compared to a big God. We ought to be humbled before them. That was their need. They were expressing, really without even knowing it, their need and all of our needs as people. But then let's look at the rebuke over these children. And again, they did, no doubt, crowd around these the Lord Jesus during His ministry for the touch of Christ's hand of blessing. And it's quite possible the disciples were thought they were possibly doing Christ a favor by, you know, okay, let Him have some space here. They didn't understand, though, Christ's tender care for the children. And it's sad that we see in homes, even Christian homes, and in churches, that children are sometimes treated like they're in the way. You're in the way here. Okay, we got some adult things to deal with. And there's a time where they need to understand that, but there's a way to do it too. A way to be winsome about it and yet firm. Because if we give the indication of a lack of love, then we are hurting the cause of Christ and we're hurting the children instead of encouraging them in the way of righteousness. These disciples didn't see the vision that Christ had for children. They're the future of this church. We trust, in the sense. Christ is the ultimate future, but again, another generation has to come along. And the disciples' case, again, it could have been that they were just too young to be influenced by whatever Jesus would have to say. When we were raising our children, when they were small, even when they were in the womb, Carol and I would have our devotions, and we'd have our devotions as if the child that was in her womb was there, which they were. And we would do our devotions with that in mind, that they were hearing the Word of God. They were human beings, and are human beings. They were hearing the Word of God. They were hearing the Word of God in church. They were hearing the songs that we sang. They were hearing the prayers that we prayed. We prayed for them while they were in the womb. And we have some wonderful recordings of Carol as she was taking care of the children and her singing to them. And those things, that has influence on children. The Word of God will not return void. So we need to be careful that we don't be like these disciples and think, oh, well, they're too small, they're too almost like beasts that can't be influenced by the Word of God. We can sometimes, I understand, we can be too cautious, though, about children, about false professions, because children, a lot of times, they want to please their parents. And understand that. I had two kids in our family that was like that. And so it is a concern. We don't want them to think they're saved and they're not. But again, we should not forbid them to come to Christ. We should never say, oh, you're not saved, or even though there is evidence and fruit meet for repentance. We should never forbid them to come to Christ. But baptism, again, requires fruit meet for repentance. And it is God working through the church, but I put a lot of weight on what the parents say about the children. They're with them day in and day out, 24/7. as to the fruit meet for repentance. As to whether they are qualified candidates for baptism or not. Again, waiting for baptism is not going to take away their salvation. Waiting for baptism doesn't mean we don't believe there's a credible profession of faith. But you know what it does when you wait? You find out a little bit whether it's real or not. Because I know in Stephen's case, you know, we just waited. And we figured, well, if he's just going to forget about it then and not bring it up anymore, then it couldn't have been real. But he kept on bringing it up. And so I said, that's a good signal right there. That's a good sign that there's a credible profession of faith here. It wasn't a matter of just pleasing mom and dad. And it is what it is, not only is it an assurance to the parents, assurance to the church, assurance to everybody else involved, but it's an assurance for the children. When they get older, well, wait a minute. I didn't do this just to please mom and dad. This was because God was truly working in my heart. And He changed me. And it was not something that I did on a whim. And so there's benefits in waiting as far as baptism is concerned. Now, there's nothing in Scripture that tells us how long to wait when it comes to children. I don't know. That's something we have to. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. That's what we have to ask God, believing that He's going to help us and guide us and direct us in that. But now, fourthly, let's look about the blessing upon these children. He blessed them not by baptism, but He blessed them with prayer. He blessed them. He laid His hands upon them. We find there in Mark and Luke, we see that He took them up in His arms, you see, and laid His hands upon them. It says that He blessed them and put His hands upon them. And we see that, again, there's no indication whatsoever. You know, those who believe in infant baptism try to take this text and the text in Mark over in Luke to try to prove infant baptism. I'm like, where? I mean, that's some serious spiritual gymnastics, you know, to try to make that say anything about infant baptism. But He didn't baptize them, but He took them in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. We ought to, when we go and pray one for another, we ought to pray for the children in this church. Amen. Praying that God will save them at an early age, that they don't get poisoned and don't have these haunting memories of sin that they've engaged in after a prolonged time in which they were not converted. We need to pray for them like Jesus prayed and blessed those children. When you pray for children, we're asking God's blessing upon the children. So let us learn from this that we are to be more like children. Usually children have no time getting together and playing and, you know, wanting to get together. They're same size. And we ought to have that kind of attitude toward one another, that we would be winsome. We would be children in maliciousness. That we would, you know, children are not typically so ambitious that they are competitive with each other so much, especially young children. But there is a certain kind of love there and helplessness and dependence. And to see that Jesus did that Himself, the King of Kings, the great High Priest, that he would stoop and humble himself, if you will, to bless these children. Took the time. He was busy. He was busy doing his father's business. And this was part of that. The children were not beneath his thoughts. And we need to think about, as we do things and we get together before or after church and different activities, to include them and take them in consideration. And that we would be more like them as far as the humility and our being humble before God, and humble one with another, that we would not be lifted up in pride. And may we see fruits of our labors as we have this attitude of humility with the children in the church here, that we will see God saving children in our midst and adding them to this church, that they would be good and faithful servants, that they will be mighty warriors for Christ, and that we may see God's hand upon them, hand of blessing upon them in their life. So we'll close at this time and have a word of prayer.